Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Studying the book of Proverbs. It's a men's show. We start with each proverb that corresponds to each Sunday, every Sunday. We like to go through, break it down, and get all the knowledge and wisdom out of these proverbs that was left for us. So since today is December 9th, we're going to be studying Proverbs 9, and it's called Imitations of Wisdom and Folly. So I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into this thing. So it says, Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for continuing to bless us all. I pray that you continue to keep us and let us get through the rest of the year greatly. Thank you for bringing us this far. Thank you for keeping us through another week, bringing us back here to the first word. Pray that something said or done that continues to help us get through another week and bring us back here again. And Jesus, I pray, amen. So, like I said, today is December 9th. So I'm studying Proverbs 9. Is Imitations of Wisdom and Folly. So, starts off by saying, wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant, and she calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink my wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. So these first six verses here definitely sets the tone of this chapter, as talks about wisdom and metaphor of her house, how everything is already set up. How it talks about those who are simple-minded, or those who... who are simple, just as she invites them to her house. It doesn't matter who you are. Wisdom is always going to be there. It's your choice. You have to seek it out. You have to gain that wisdom. or at least want to, not act a fool, play a fool. Doesn't, you know, I wouldn't say segregated or, you know, it doesn't discriminate, there you go, against anybody. You know, wisdom's for everybody, from the youngest to the oldest, all races, everybody, throughout generations, even from way back when, you're still gaining wisdom now. So wisdom is always going to be there. She's always going to call. And that's my take on these verses. I know we have other callers on the line, and I know I got Minister Jamal here with me. Good morning, brother.
Morning, man. And for the listeners, man, happy birthday, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
But
two.
I definitely agree. I definitely like how, you know, they setting it up. I definitely like how it says wisdom has built her house and she has set up seven pillars. And it goes on to say that she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine, and she has also set her table. And it reminds me of, if I'm not mistaken, Proverbs 31, and we talk about a virtuous woman, and we talk about a woman that God wants us to seek out. And so I love the comparison, and, you know, it tells you that let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine that I mix. I love how it's showing that wisdom has some substance, and you're not just, when you're seeking wisdom and when you come in wisdom to me in these couple of verses, it's attractive. The seven pillars, you think about pillars in front of a house, man, and she said she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine and also set the table, so it's attractive when you coming in. That's just like in the church, man. We gotta have something to draw the people in, and when we get the people inside the church, we gotta have some, metaphorically, some meat and some mixed wine for them. And I love how it goes on and says that to who that have no sense, come eat my food. You know, because this is not some McDonald's that's gonna be out your system within 15 to 20 minutes, but this is gonna be something that sticks to your ribs and sticks to your bones, you know, throughout the week. Something that's gonna fill you up. That is not just gonna be something quick and easy. So that's how I feel about these verses.
Definitely, great words of wisdom. Continue that right there. Appreciate that. We got any other callers that like to make their comment on these first six verses here, Proverbs 9?
Yeah. Good morning, fellas. This invitation of wisdom and folly is invitation been going out since the beginning of time. And when she built her house with seven pillars, that's where they built houses back then. And that was a sign that the house was well built. And when you look down at verse 6, that's what caught my eye. It simply says, leave your simple ways and you will live. It seems as if people take that as an insult because you're trying to tell them, you know, that you need wisdom. And I think that's one of the drawbacks in ministry. If people don't think they need something, they don't think they need wisdom, they don't think they need instruction, they think they know it all. But that's why we all have to go to institutions of higher learning, go through training, because we don't know it all. But it seems like with ministry, with religion, people don't think they need it. And they think it's something that's beneath them or something that's going to try to belittle them. But when someone says you're simple, sometimes people will take that the wrong way. But that just means, simple means that you have a basic understanding, just a small understanding. But if you leave that basic understanding and try to ascend to higher ways, especially higher ways of God, knowing God, it says If you leave yourself in ways, you will live. Walk in the way of insight. And that should be in all of our lives, in every step of our lives, that we should always be trying to get better, always trying to be improvement, understand what corrective criticism is, understand that people will tell you you're doing something wrong so you can get better. I know as a youth, you know, your parents would always get on your nerve, always got something to say, always this, always that. But the majority of the time, they were trying to help you to get better. And then once you have lived a while and you've seen that, then you can understand, say, okay, I appreciate now the investment that people have made in trying to help me to get better. And that's what wisdom is trying to do.
Definitely agree with that. After being to a couple of jobs, definitely understand that. Wisdom's passed down, always. A lot of the time, people always ask for what experience you have, what people have taught you, different things like that. That wisdom, like you said, is passed down. In continuing with Proverbs 9, says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. The wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. So it's just like we continue to say there. Just a little more on the other side. If you rebuke the wicked, it incurs abuse. And the mocker will hate you. Just because a lot of people sometimes can be stuck in their ways, think they know it all. And other times, whenever they're going through, they don't want to hear the correct response. A lot of the time, sometimes if somebody's in a situation or it could be mad or angry at whatever situation. They don't want to hear the right thing. They don't want to do the right thing. And then it just occurs, you know, they could turn wicked, like it says. And they'll start hating you for saying the right thing. And you just got to continue to know right from wrong. And a lot of times I learned just, you know, you got to leave them alone. And let them do them for the time being. What do you guys think about these verses here?
I definitely agree with you. It reminds me of a movie. It was called Hurricane Season, and it was about the last basketball team that they had to put together in New Orleans during the hurricane. And so it was like it was only one school left. You understand? So it was like everybody from, you know, New Orleans or Louisiana, they all came together and played on one team. So it was different schools, different talents, and different places, man. And, you know, it was just one player, And I'm not going to lie, he was great. He was great, but, you know, he would get mad when he didn't get the ball 90% of the time. He would get mad when, you know, he would think he's wide open and it would pass the ball somewhere else. And what he had to realize was that he needed the team. They went to one practice, and they said, man, okay, since you're so good, come on, man, check this person. You're going to go one-on-one against this person. And he said, matter of fact, bring me the rest of y'all, the whole team against this one person. And at first, when they were telling him to pass the ball and, you know, man, you got to utilize your team, and he wasn't trying to hear that because when he got the ball, he was able to score. And when he didn't get that he needed the team started doing other things. They saw that when he was wide open, they would take a shot or they would pass it to somebody else. And so what happened was that when he played the whole team, he was so tired. And the coach was trying to express to him that, man, you need this team. It's not just about you. So you got to be able to and that's why you don't do it to mockers and things of that nature, because, see, the fool and the mocker says there's no God. So anything that you're trying to explain to them on the line of Christ, on the path of Christ, they're not going to get it because they done already made up in their mind that there's no God. And so when you make up in your mind there's no God, there's no wisdom for you to get. So you got this worldly wisdom, and in the worldly wisdom, they don't know nothing. The only thing that counts is the godly wisdom. Godly wisdom gets you or keeps you out of jail. The godly wisdom keeps you alive. The godly wisdom protects you and show you that, yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't need to be going down Savannah Terrace. You don't need to be going down Saratoga. You don't need to be going down these places. And so definitely you have to be careful of who you give them the wisdom to, because you just don't want it to fall on deaf ears. You just don't want to be wasting this wisdom on somebody that you know isn't already going to be receptive to it. I talk about this all the time, and I use this example all the time. I know that Shaq was the greatest center in our generation, you know, but even then he still worked out with Hakeem Olajuwon, which was the greatest in the era before him. He didn't say, man, I'm Shaq, I don't need this. I'm the greatest center in a while. But he was able to work out with one of the other best centers of the generation before, and that made him as dominant as he was. So yeah, those are my comments on that right there.
Yeah, I like what you said about that. It's just like what both you guys saying. Sometimes you gotta leave folk alone. You know, because they'll take a lot of your energy from you when you're trying to give wisdom to those that don't know God or don't want to know God. You gotta know how to present and keep it moving. Like Anthony was saying, you gotta learn how to say, okay, this is what it is, and you know, it's here, it was available to you, but you know, you ain't trying to, you know, take a bite out of it. You know, I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of energy trying to give you something that obviously you don't want right now. You're too simple to understand right now. But in that verse 9, it says, instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. That is so powerful. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. So that there is a reward in ministry. Know that your labor is not in vain. You just have to know when to shake the dust off your feet, know when to keep it moving, because there's a reward in your labor is not in vain. Sometimes you get tired of several people, and sometimes they get on your nerves, and sometimes you're like, how long are they going to remain simple? You know, it starts pulling down on you, and you have to be able to keep it moving and understand that God doesn't expect you to give all your energy to someone that doesn't want to learn. You just have to present it. They're not receiving it. Keep it moving. Like the sports analogies, you know, when you know, you come out on a sports team and, you know, they're trying to teach you the right way, and you stuck, you know, in your old way. They're going to keep moving. You're going to get cut, and someone that wants to learn and do it the right way is going to benefit. But you always got to stay hungry. You always got to stay, you know, ready to keep it moving, move forward, and be that person when someone tries to instruct you that you get wiser still.
Amen, amen. Definitely learning a lot about this wisdom thing here.
And I mean, it's so key in our lives to, you know, want constructive criticism. It's so key because it's like, you know, why not be shown how to be better than you already are? If God has been blessing your life and he's been moving and he's been blessing you and he has been using you as a vessel, why not listen to somebody that's saying, hey, God, listen, love what you're doing. Let me show you how to do this a little bit, you know, more simple, or let me show you a little more tricks to the trade, or let me show you how to get more out of what you're trying to do. And, you know, a lot of people, I've been doing mine for 10 years, 10 plus years, man. And I ran into these girls one time, man, and they just did like a certain move that I liked. And I was like, man, you know, they probably was out for about 3 years. And I could have sat back and said, man, look, I've been doing this for 10 years, man. There ain't nothing they can show me. It ain't nothing that nobody can show. I've been doing this for 10 years. But I sat down and I learned. I sat down and I seen how, you know, they broke down their way of like meditation and, you know, things of that nature. And it's helped me. And I loved it when they were showing me these things, because like it says that I will be wiser. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, oh, you know, you could become better than nothing. It ain't about that. It's just about everybody being wise and everybody being able to use this wisdom that God has given us. And sometimes, you know, and see what some people get fixated on is the age. Oh, you younger than me, man. You don't know nothing. Oh, you, man, you young, man. What you know? You don't know nothing, man. You too little to know this, or you too young to know. Wisdom does not have no age on it. We see some people that's, and me and you deal with this on a regular basis, man. We see people that's older than us, and we find ourselves telling them things that they should be telling us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we did not rebuke the wisdom. We didn't rebuke, you know, the constructive criticism that was presented to us. But we took it. It's like you, man. You know, when I always laugh because of how far you've come. My first goddamn man, you used to play so quiet when you ain't know the songs. You know what I'm saying? But I always told you to, keep your confidence, man. I always told you keep it up. It didn't matter, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know, just for a little joke, I got to turn it down sometimes.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's
like
the confidence, and you didn't let me discourage you. You didn't, you know what I'm saying? You didn't say, man, you're a drummer. Like, what you know? Like, man, you're a drummer. Stick to them drums. You know what I'm saying? You didn't do any of them things, but what you started to do is you started to listen to the wisdom that I was trying to tell you. You started doing these things, and mm-hmm. now when we go out places, I remember, man, I can't remember the name of the church, man, but a dude came to us. He said, man, how long y'all been playing together?
Right.
He said, it seems
right.
like y'all been playing together for like 10, 15 years. We've been
mm-hmm.
playing together 3 years strong.
Yeah.
You know, and so that is just a blessing, man. And, you know, it's like, hey, you'll tell me sometime, hey, man, don't hit the snare like that. Give me a rim shot. I don't be like, stick to your keys, boy. You know, I don't say that. But what I do is I go to the rim shot. You know what I'm saying? Because it's obviously that you can hear something that I can't. And when I'm not able to see something, when I'm not able to hear something, when I'm not able to do something, I love the fact that somebody else that's on the outside is going to say, hey, man, do it like this. Because I'm hearing it from this side. I know you're hearing it from this side, but do it this way. I'm trying to tell you. So, that's what I love about, you know, God. He gives us people to teach us the things that we need to right then and there.
Definitely. Like you said, learn from many different people, getting that other perspective on something. It always helps, you know. I know it doesn't take that many people, but when you have more hands, it makes it easier. When you have more people to lift whatever, it makes it easier. That's why, you know, when people build things or create things, they have a creative staff or they have people behind them to, you know, help them establish whatever they're doing. I know, like, this past week, we were trying to figure out why this one apartment that we were in, the smoke detector, for whatever reason, didn't have power to it. And started off with me and another guy trying to figure it out. We searched the lines and everything. And then we came back to the box and we were like, okay, this switch doesn't do it. So we called our electrical guy. Our electrical guy knows about electrical circuits, so he has that wisdom. came out, took the panel off, raised it back, and was like, hey, this wire isn't going to that, that they said it's supposed to be going to. And then traced it all the way back. Somebody cut the wire at the panel, wired something else behind the panel, and we didn't know what it was. We were searching for a whole hour. He came over there and was like, yeah, we're going to have to run a whole new circuit, called the boss. We're going to have to cut into the drywall. We're going to have to do this and that. But since I knew who to call on and, you know, I knew who to go to, who had that experience with this, and, you know, they came back, they saw the problem. Like anything, you know, and in our trade, what I've been learning and what our teacher's been telling us constantly is they're teaching us, yes, but they're also teaching us how to solve problems so we know where to go when problems arise, or know how to search, or how to read manuals, schematics, different things like that, to go so we can actually solve the problems ourselves. So it's definitely a knowledge thing combined with that experience and knowing where to go. Definitely in the spiritual aspect, go right back to the Bible. Has all the answers. We got the answer key. So, you know, that's my take, please. Got any other comments?
There's just so many analogies I could use, man. You know what I'm saying? Even with, you know, Brandon, when he be coming to the church and I'll be going, you know, what could look like going back and forth to a fool, to a person that's wise and saying that, you know, that's just, you know, that's just teaching 101. You know, how Brandon asks you, you know, what key you in. You don't get frustrated and say, man, I'm in D. Like, you know what I'm saying? Why are you playing? You know what I'm saying? I've seen you get up from your station and walk over to his station and see how he does certain things, you know. And that's just a, you know, that's just wisdom. And like you said, with the knowledge that he has, you can only go up. You can only go up. You're going to, you know, only expand, you know. And I love the fact that it's the maturity that's there, you know, that you don't get frustrated, but you be like, all right, man, like, I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? And the time and the effort that you take into it, you know, that's just a blessing. It's just, you know, wisdom coming around full circle. You know, and it might be a little anthem that's coming up. And when he is scared or he isn't as confident that he knows a song, he might play low. And you're going to come to him and say, listen, little guy, let me tell you something. You know, I used to be the same way, but let me show you something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a full circle. You know, when wisdom is in the right hands and, you know, is coming out of, you know, godly wisdom and love and things of that nature, then, you know, it flows, you know, and you see that, man, you know. And in the terminology that y'all use, you guys never tell each other that y'all not doing it the correct way. Brandon would get up from his station, come over to you. You would get up from your station, go over to him. So I just love how the wisdom is and you know, the constructive criticism bounces off each other and you know, there's no feelings involved, or there's no, man, you can't tell me nothing, right, you know, or you, man, how can you tell me this? I mean, I know you good, but this, that, and the fourth and the other, you know, so that's what I love about that.
Appreciate it, man. You know, we only got a couple of seconds here left. If there's no other comments, Minister Jamal, you'd like to close us out?
First of all, let me just say, you know, man, I appreciate everybody that, you know, stays on the line consistently and, you know, dedicated to this first word, because God is definitely elevating our lives. God is definitely teaching us some things that, you know, we can use in our everyday lives. I'm going through a situation right now where, you know, I'm just going to tell the truth because we're on first word. I wasn't in the wrong. You know what I'm saying? Somebody had wronged me, and now, you know, after all this time, they doing all different types of things. And now they call my phone and they want to talk and things like that. And one thing, and I know it's not related to the first word, but one thing I know that our covenant tells us is that be slow to take offense. But always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior, you know. And so it's just, you know, this first word has been blessing me, man. It's been showing me how to, you know, get your point across without having to be aggressive, without having to try to show that you're the alpha male and try to show that, you know, you run things and things like that. God has definitely taken the fight out of me. Because we understand that we have to let the Lord fight our battles, but God is not going to God is not going to force Himself to fight our battles if we still out there fighting. If we still out here, you know, we have fight in us. And I believe that we go through these situations because God wants to take the fight out of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that at the end of the day, when things come on, when situations happen, we'll say, God, go get him, or whatever. You know, I was at a job the other day, and this lady was like, you know, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to act crazy. I'm just going to get my big brother Jesus on y'all. And everybody found it to be so funny, but I found it to be so great because she didn't have no more fight in her. What she said was that she wanted to let the Lord fight, because the Lord tells her the vengeance is mine. Says the Lord, that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we got to get that fight out of us. We got to have that wisdom and knowledge to understand that, yes, God can do worse than what I can do. That little 15 minutes of me doing whatever, roughing you up, punching you, or whatever the case is, God's going to deal with you forever.
Mm.
You know, so we definitely have to, you know, like I said, man, the wisdom, I love it. Because it's just, you know, so powerful if used in the right way. It's so powerful when the wise man gets the criticism because he's happy. Because he said, you know what, that, because at the end of the day, this is not about me, this is about Christ. So anything I can do to edify God, to put him in the forefront, I'm going to do. So that's my last comment. Anybody else before we close out? All right, Farha. All right, for our hearts and minds are clear. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you just for waking us up this morning, seeing a day that we ain't never seen before and never going to see again. Father God, we thank you for life, health, and strength, Father God. We all might not be feeling the best, Father God, but we just thank you for waking us up in the land of the living. Give us one more chance to get it right. Father God, I ask you right now, Father God, to be in our churches, wherever they may be, Father God. Let your anointing fall afresh right now in Jesus' name, Father God. We ask you to come into our churches, Father God, take your shoes off and relax, Father God, and we ask you, Father God, to have the preacher behind your cross, Father God, that when they go up, Father God, that they don't see the preacher, Father God, but they only see you, Father God. Give us strength, Father God, where we are weak, Father God. Keep us forever, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, next week. This is the first word. Peace.